Hello there, folks. It's Cliff again with a quick look at the sports. There's quite a lot going on at the moment, including Wimbledon, of course, which started this week. John's not with us, unfortunately, this week, but he sends his apologies and he's hoping that he'll be back with us next time when we're recording a programme. So just to start off, firstly, cricket's been a bit in the news these days at the moment. This is Wednesday I'm talking to you, and the second test for England against India will be taking part, will start today. Chris Stocks in the I magazine said that, reporting from Edgbaston, he said that after England calmly named their 11 players 2 days out from the start of this second test, the contrast with a rattled India camp that appears riven with indecision could not be clearer. Put simply, England are one non up after their latest Headingley heist in the series opener. They are confident, composed, and eyeing up another victory that would quicken chance of a potential 5-0 whitewash for England. On the other side, meanwhile, India have tied themselves in knots by proclaiming Jasprit Bumrah, the top-ranked bowler in the world, will only play in 3 of the 5 tests. And a day before the start of the second test, which was Tuesday yesterday, Shubman Gill, their young captain who lost his first game in charge last week in gut-wrenching fashion as England chased down 371 in Leeds, but he was unable to confirm whether Bumrah would be playing again here or not. So it's one of those things. We'll wait and see, and I'll look forward to listening to the commentaries on Radio 4 and Radio 5 during the day when I've finished doing some work up here in the office. And on the women's cricket situation, the England women's team lost last night, and the second of their five T20 matches, were comprehensively beaten again, unfortunately. India have got some star batsmen, they really have, and their bowlers are very disciplined. And again, they showed up the England women for, after thrashing the West Indies women 3-0 in a series, they're now struggling 2-0 down in this one against the Indians. And sadly to report, but our local lass who bats for England was not able to help, and she was out for just one run, I think. And it's a difficult time for her, and hopefully she'll improve as things go on, but she may well lose her place as it stands at the moment. And in the county championship, Leicester were defeated for the first time in this season's county championship after losing to Middlesex by an innings and 127 runs. They were leading the Division 2, but they took a bit of a pacing there. And in Division 1, Surrey remain on top against Durham, who trail by 477 runs in a, despite a valiant century from Alex Lees. So plenty of cricket to come. And Wimbledon opened up this week again, as you'll be aware. And the big story is basically from the English point of view, and not being sort of being patriotic, I imagine, I suppose, from that point of view. But we actually have got 10 players, it's history-making, that British wildcard Jack Pinnington Jones, they're all double-barrel names, aren't they, these days, secured a stunning straight sets victory over the world number 53, Thomas Martin Echeverry, to become the 10th home hopeful in the second round. So it's phenomenal. We had 23 players to start with who were playing with an English English players representing England, should we say, and now we've still got 10 of them that have survived the first round, which is something of a record for the number of players. But there's lots and lots of younger players now, I suppose, with help from the lottery and so on. It's a job again, isn't it, now, rather than a hobby, so they have to be full time to be able to do that. And the one of the stars that we're looking out for particularly is Draper, who eased past Baez for the latest feather in Britain's cap. And James Toney, reporting from Wimbledon at the All England Club, said There's been a Wimbledon singles champion in a cloche hat, a French beret, and even a straw boaty, while Serena Williams likes to claim that she's the only winner to wear a tiara. And Jack Draper is looking to become the first to win in a back-to-front baseball cap, perhaps not realising that Andy Roddick tried and failed in three finals. And these early rounds of Wimbledon can feel like going through the emotions for the top players and hot headwear stats aside. The British number one dominated the figures that matter to progress with ease against Argentina's Sebastian Baez. So that's good news for England, and very interesting, and certainly very good weather for a change, isn't it? This week, so Wimbledon, no problems about worrying about rain at Wimbledon this time. So switching over to football, we've got some changes. The transfer season is open, and Arsenal have signed goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga from Chelsea, and various other transfers on the way. That we hope there'll be more to come. There'll be a lot more to come. But meanwhile, Manchester City are continuing their decline. They've really struggled last season compared to the previous ones. But then they were so exceptionally high, winning virtually everything in the past three or four seasons. But they've now lost in the... They've exited at the hands of the Saudis' Al Hilal team, which is in the... Pep Guardiola, the manager, said he saw some good things in the defeat by Saudi Arabia's Al Hilal in the Club World Cup last 16. And Kevin Garsay says, blimey, you would expect more than sifting the wreckage for positives 4 days after the born-again victory against Juventus. The Club World Cup, which is one of these new things they brought in to, again, to fleece the crowds, to my view, in a lot of ways, because it's more matches, more money, more costs, and people just can't afford to keep going all through the year. But the competition is not covering itself in too much glory at the moment. But Kevin Garside is saying that for Manchester City, at least, it represented an opportunity to restore some order and pride after the first fallow season for 8 years in the Football League. In the 5-2 swatting of Juventus, Guardiola thought he'd witnessed the return of City's swagger with those twin pillars of past plunder, Rodri and Erling Haaland, back in the high-end tandem. The team celebrated with a swim in the sea and bonded over games of beach volleyball on the Florida beaches, and there was no sense then of a tsunami about to rinse them whole. Rodri left the field early, complaining of niggles after coming on as a substitute. At least Haaland was on the score sheet, if apologetically netting the equaliser that would take the tie to extra time. It mattered little that City might have settled the tie before half-time with the chances they spurned. The record shows a humbling 4-8 defeat, a result shot through with some flaws that broke the system last season. So not looking good. He's certainly got his work cut out again this season with Manchester City. But people like Liz and myself will be quite pleased, because it shares the stuff out a bit, and it gives Aston Villa and other clubs that haven't been able to get in the top line for some time, it gives them the opportunity to share the trophies out a bit more if we can, and make it more interesting for more supporters and more fee-paying supporters paying for their tickets through the turnstiles. So finally, coming round to local sport, Stoke City, former Port Vale defender Stockley is the Potters' new academy manager, and Sam takes the key role is the big headline from Peter Smith in the Sentinel tonight. Stoke City have appointed Sam Stockley as their first academy manager. The 47-year-old takes on a new role created as Gareth Owen shifted from academy director to academy technical director, working closely with sporting director John Walters and being involved in the first team and the women's team, as well as the youth setup. And that shows my age, don't it? We never used to have academy directors or technical directors or sporting directors. We had a manager, and the manager decided who was going to be signed for the club, and the manager ran the players, and nobody interfered. That's the way the world has changed. However, going back to this article, Stockley will be remembered in the Potteries for his time at Port Vale, but he has since built his reputation in the United States. He has played a major part in building up Lexington Soccer Club from scratch over the last 4 years, working as a sporting director to establish a club which now has thriving boys and girls academies, a men's first team now competing in the USL Championships, and which is the second tier of the American Pyramid for Football, and a women's team in the USL Super League, which is the top US tier for women. Stockley had his first day on Sunday when new scholars were officially signed, and said, "From the moment I met John and Gareth, their humility, energy and vision for both the club and the academy excited me. Stoke City is a prodigious club, the facilities are first class, and the unrivalled owner investment provides a platform for future success. I have been very fortunate to work in different environments and cultures, which I believe will serve me well in providing a different perspective and renewed energy into the programme. Parents, supporters and staff can be assured that I will bring all of my enthusiasm to the role from the outset, driven by the ongoing goal of producing players that go on to make an impact in the first team football." So that's we wish him well and good luck and hope that works out for them. And also on the back page of the Sentinel today, it says that Stoke City have emerged as major suitors for Plymouth Argyle record signing Maxim Taliaferro, a centre-half who stood out in the Championship after joining from Australian LASK club for about just under £2 million in January. And he was credited as one of the reasons Argyle almost stayed up against the odds. There are fears on the south coast that they would not be able to keep hold of him in League One, and the defender has hinted that his future could be resolved once he was back from a break following international duty with Ukraine. So he's reported back now, and Stoke are believed to be trying to get a deal done to bring him to the Potteries. 25-year-old has been in Ukraine squad for a Canadian Shield tournament in Toronto, and he scored twice in 13 appearances for Plymouth Argyle and caught the eye in the FA Cup, starring in a win over Liverpool and scoring against Manchester City. So there we go, more people coming into Stoke. Not so many at the moment, John tells me, but he'll be back and be able to update you soon, because I was talking to John the other night on the phone, and of course, although it's just the 2nd of July, we're already talking about the friendly matches that the clubs will be playing towards the middle and end of July to get them prepared for the first matches in August for the new season. And so over briefly to Port Vale, where Darren Moore, the manager there, says his players have to be pushed to the limit as they look to make a big impact. Darren Moore said he'll be putting his Vale players through their paces to make sure that they hit the new League One season, on promotion of course, with a bang. The Valiants boss took time to speak to Port Vale TV. I didn't know that existed, so they've got their own channel now for the television. In his first pre-season interview, and stressed the importance of getting the work done early to prepare the players. He said, "I think the fitness side is a really important part to the game. Players know where that there is no easy way. You can't shortcut it. You have to do your work at the best level you can. Pre-season is 6 weeks, and we can overload them with 2 and 3 sessions a day to get strength, stamina and robustness into them. We've taken a step up and are focused on that level and what that will bring, and we're aware that where we are and what we need to do to get back there. League One poses a bigger challenge," and he added, "there's so many varieties of teams and the challenges are different week in, week out. There's a level of expectancy with the bigger teams in the level, and it's about pitting your wits against them and forming a strategy on how to get on top of them. There's new challenges and new hurdles to overcome. I'm open-minded and adaptable, and we will be prepared for it. Even the so-called lesser sides have an element in desire in how they play." So that's, again, looking forward that way. And he's already been eulogising, Clive Yulton says in the Sentinel, about his new signings, what has been a very busy summer for the Valiants. While Stoke haven't signed too many, Moore signed 15 players last summer with a view to bringing in men that could play in League One. And that hasn't stopped him adding even more quality to the squad, with Ben Wayne, Marco Marozzi, Cameron Humphreys, joining Jordan Gabriel, Rico Richards, Liam Gordon and Jordan Shipley. And on Humphreys, Moore told the club, "We have a number of high-level targets and Cam was one of them. What Cam comes with is a certain caliber of player he is. I think we've done our work on him in terms of what he is, who he is and what he can bring to us. There's parts of his game we really want to nurture. And I think if we can nurture those parts we've spoken about, we'll have a terrific player there. He can excel and hopefully he's a player the Vale fans will be excited about." So there we go. It seems crazy. You know, the season's only just finished and we're already talking about next season, but that's football for you. It's become a worldwide global business and a lot different than it used to be. But that's it. We wish the players well. We wish Stoke and the Vale and crew all the best for the new season. And John will be reporting on those regularly, hopefully, in the future. So that's it from me, folks. Thank you for your time. And I hope you stay safe and well and look forward to talking to you again soon.